you don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you?
No, we don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Hi, I'm Rob West. That's George Bailey and the angel Clarence in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Money does come in handy down here, so you don't want to let it slip through your fingers if you can help it. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God wants to be a part of your life, and that certainly includes how you handle money. To be a good steward, you need to be on the lookout for ways to save money so you can hang on to more of it. Not for the love of money, but to have more to use for God's purposes and His glory. Today I've got three ways you may be losing money. The first is not contributing enough to your 401k to get the maximum matching contribution, if your employer offers one. But even if you're already getting the maximum match, you may not realize there's a way to get an even greater return on your 401k contributions. In addition to your regular payroll contributions, the more you front-load contributions at the beginning of the year, the more opportunity you have for compound earnings. Granted, that takes planning and diligence, but if you have the cash to live on while you make contributions that take up a big part of your paycheck early in the year, well, you'll be money ahead. Just keep in mind that the total annual contribution limit is $22,500 or $30,000 if you're 50 or older. The only hitch is if you contribute more early in the year, you still have to contribute enough each pay period to get the maximum match. That's because most employers put in those matching contributions on a pay period basis. So you don't want to front load all your annual contributions just enough to get the best of both worlds. But what if your employer doesn't offer a 401k at all? You can't just say, oh, well, I'll save for retirement at my next job. Again, because of compound earnings, time really is money. Every year you don't set up a Roth IRA, money is slipping through your fingers. A Roth has several key benefits, starting with tax-free retirement income. That's not the case with a traditional IRA, where contributions are pre-tax. You deduct them from adjusted gross income on your tax return. But you have to pay income tax on your withdrawals when you retire. A Roth doesn't work that way. Your contributions are with after-tax dollars. True, you don't get the tax benefit now, but it's worth it because your withdrawals during retirement are 100% tax-free. The IRS figures it already got what's coming to it. A Roth is especially good if you project your tax rate will be higher in retirement than it is now. Generally, that means the longer time until you retire, the better a Roth works for you. Also, unlike a traditional IRA or 401k, you won't have required minimum distribution someday. And two more quick benefits. Almost anyone can contribute to a Roth IRA, and if you bequeath one to your heirs, they won't have to pay taxes on withdrawals either. The second way you may be losing money is by not taking full advantage of a flexible spending account if your employer offers one. A lot of folks shy away from them because contributions not spent during the year are lost. But with a little planning and calculation, you can set your contributions pretty close to what you'll spend on qualified items during the year. Now, there are actually two versions of the FSA. The first is for medical expenses, and the list of what's covered is too long to give here. The second is a dependent care flexible spending account, which covers child care for an elderly adult, in-home dependent care, before and after school care, and nursery school. Both must be offered by your employer. You can't set these up on your own. You also have to sign up for and contribute to each separately. Your HR department can talk you through the process. Bottom line, an FSA lets you pay for qualified expenses with pre-tax dollars, saving you a lot of cash. Okay, the last way to lose money is by lending it to Uncle Sam tax-free, instead of putting it where it can earn money for you. I'm talking about having too much withheld from your paycheck for taxes. By the way, the average refund is about $3,000. $1,000. That's money you could be using to pay down debt or increase your savings. To adjust that withholding, just fill out a new W-4 withholding form. All right, those are the ways to avoid losing money. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Measuring up, we all try to do it. Maybe we're a younger sibling trying to live up to our older brother's reputation in school, or the daughter of hardworking parents trying to make a living for ourselves in this world. But when it comes to the perfect holiness of God, none of us can hope to measure up. Paul puts it this way. In Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are all justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. But the good news follows the bad. Jesus has measured up to God's standard, and all those who believe in Him are accepted as if they measured up like He did. It started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here as we round out the week, I'd love to hear from you with your financial questions today. We want to tackle whatever you're dealing with in your financial life as you live, give, owe, and grow. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. That's right. We've got some lines open and perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Wisconsin. Louise, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate everything that you're doing and helping people with their finances. Yep. So I am 63 and a half and planning on retiring at 65. I'm with a financial advisor and I have about $700,000 in a mix of mostly stocks and bonds. They fluctuate greatly, as you know, and it makes me a little uneasy being so close to retirement. And then I have an annuity about of $100,000, and then I have about $200,000 in cash. Okay. I have a mortgage of $89,000, and I don't really have any other debt except to about $10,000 in completion of a home project. Okay. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And so
I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous about, you know, should I do something different with, you know, all that money in stocks when I'm so close to retirement?
Yes. Do you know approximately the allocation between stocks and bonds in that portfolio, percentage-wise?
I think it's like 70 stock and 30 bonds.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be a little bit more aggressive than I would typically be. So normally at age 65, I'd probably say 50-50 is right. You could even get more conservative and go, 40, 60, 40 stocks, 60 bonds. But I probably, this close to retirement, wouldn't be up at 70% just because of, as you said, you want to try to get more conservative at this point where you're not seeing that fluctuation volatility. Now, I like you continuing an allocation to stocks, even if we were to head into a recession, because, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, I mean, when you reach age 65, your life expectancy is 86, and you want this money to last for the rest of your life. So the way you overcome inflation and allow this money to continue to grow so you don't lose too much purchasing power is to keep an allocation to stocks. And, you know, I love that you've got, you know, plenty of liquid cash. So I think the question to talk to your advisor about is, what does it look like to continue to move toward a more conservative posture as you head toward retirement in the next couple of years? If you wanted an allocation to precious metals, you know, I'd say somewhere around 5-10% at the most. If you did that, I'd probably, you know, want to see your stock allocation down probably no more than 40% and the rest in bonds. The other thing is, as interest rates head back down, and they will at some point, we may get one or two more rate hikes, but at some point, you know, the Fed is going to need to stimulate the economy and begin to drop these interest rates. And as they do, the bond portion of your portfolio, which has probably been under some pressure along with the stocks in the last couple of years, is going to do well. And so I'd love for you to be positioned for that so you have that opportunity to not only get the nice income, the yield on that, but also the appreciation of the underlying asset. So I think perhaps that's the next conversation, is to say, first of all, what do you think, to your advisor? Here's what I'm sensing, and what would it look like for us to make that move, between now and the next couple of years? I'd probably do it sooner rather than later, just given what we're expecting to happen with, a recession that may be mild, but could be, a little bit deeper than we expected. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is that mortgage. So you said you're at $89,000. Have you run your budget with the mortgage for retirement to see what would my monthly need be, and then compared that to the income sources you had?
No, I just was advised not to pay it off because the interest rate was like 3%.
Yeah, and there's the math equation, which right now makes a lot of sense to hang on to it. Although, you know, even if you had the money in a CD, let me ask, where is the cash portion right now?
It's just in the bank.
But is it earning 4% in a high yield savings account?
Yeah, 4%. Yeah.
Okay, so you're basically breaking even on that because you're going to pay some taxes on that interest, right? So you're probably, it's a wash on that mortgage. So you're really not making anything on that cash portion that could have paid the mortgage off. So, you know, there's the financial side, but then there's also the non-financial side, which is just your peace of mind, knowing that going into retirement, you own your home free and clear, you're unencumbered, you have a little bit more flexibility for whatever God has for you in this next season of life, and just the practical matter of it brings your monthly expenses down, so you just have less need for income. What do you expect your retirement budget to look like? How much do you think you'll need per month? And are you planning to start taking Social Security at the same time you retire?
That's kind of up in the air. My husband is, he's going to still continue to work for probably maybe 6 years after that. After I retire, no, probably only five. He'll continue, but he has all the deductions taken out of his account for health insurance and for, and he does contribute heavily to 401k because he was a late starter. So he contributes heavily to his 401k. So his paychecks are, we wouldn't be able to live on his paycheck. So I think I would have to take Social Security.
Yeah. Okay. But obviously
we adjust his, you know, like his,
withholdings and so forth. Yeah, sure. Right. But are you counting his retirement assets in the $700,000 plus the annuity? Okay. So how much do you have on top of all that you described to me?
For him, on his part, I would say it's about $450,000.
About $450,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So when you retire, you all are going to have this roughly, you know, $1.2 million or so plus some cash. And if you both take Social Security, what do you feel like your monthly expenses are today all in? Do you have a good sense of that?
Yeah, I think they're about $5,000 a month, you know, with our contributions to, you know, church and, you know, things, 5 to 6, actually, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at this point, you're in good shape. I mean, you got plenty of cash. I would imagine you're either both of you taking Social Security would get, you know, close to that. And then you've got this roughly $1.2 million plus what it will grow to. Your husband's going to continue putting into it, and so are you over the next 2 years, him perhaps longer than that. And so let's say you have 1.3, 1.4. I mean, you could easily pull $50,000 a year out of that if you needed to, but it doesn't sound like you will. So I think the goal that I'd like to see you all set is to have that mortgage paid off by the time you're fully retired, if not by the time you retire, because, again, it's just not earning enough to make it worthwhile after tax, and that would further reduce your monthly need. And I'd love to see you let Social Security grow as long as you can before you start taking it, especially for him. So I think at this point, step one is to talk to your advisor about getting more conservative, increasing your bond exposure, perhaps some precious metals between, you know, over the next few months. And then secondly, let's set a goal to pay off the house by the time you retire, if not by the time your husband retires. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Coming up on The Stand Radio, we'll see how a right view of God can change everything.
Going through high religious motions without a high view of God Himself doesn't really help get you to the mark of where you need to be under the umbrella and favor of God.
Plus, we'll learn how important it is to understand Christian persecution.
When one brother or sister is being persecuted, it should affect all of us.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be talking to Christine here in just a moment. But first, let me go back to what we were talking about before the break. I had a chance to talk a bit more with Louise off the air. And, you know, I think we constantly hear this question, and it's a good one, around should I keep that mortgage and invest the difference? Should I pay it off? And, you know, we typically say, well, we want to be debt-free. That's a goal that we should have. We know that debt changes the relationship. It hinders our flexibility often. There's a lot of peace of mind associated with being debt-free. So we want to set that goal. The question is the timing, right? So we want to look at how do we accelerate our debt payoff as soon as possible without depleting ourselves of really two things. Number one, our liquidity, our cushion. So we've got cash available as we need it for the unexpected and just normal routine expenses. But also, we don't want to deprive ourselves of the opportunity to take advantage of compound growth through long-term investments. And often, if we're really focused on paying off the mortgage during our working years, we can deprive ourselves of the opportunity to really, in a meaningful way, fund long-term retirement savings. So we've got to find the balance. And that's what financial management is all about. It's seeking the Lord, understanding our values, and then setting goals that align with our values and priorities, but also these competing priorities we have of giving generously and getting out of debt and being able to save for the future and, you know, provide for our families and enjoy what God has given us. And it takes prayer and wise counsel to figure all of that out. But I would say the paying off the mortgage question is not just purely a math equation. I mean, yes, there's a math element to it. And if you've got an interest rate at 2% or 3% and you could make more, sure, I understand that. But, you know, if you've got money sitting in a savings account and you're making 4% on it, after tax on that interest, you're probably not making a whole lot on a 3.5% interest rate. It's basically a wash. So if you'd rather pay off the house and you've got the ability to do it, let's go for it and not look back. But at a minimum, let's try to get it paid off by the time you retire so we get those expenses down and give you more freedom and flexibility to follow the leading of the Lord in that season of life. So I would say, you know, an advisor who's saying to you, this is only a math equation and it doesn't make sense on paper for you to pay that off. Well, there's more to that story. And if you have a real conviction about being debt-free, you go for it. Pay off that house and don't look back. And by the way, I know I've said this before, but I've been doing this a long time. Thousands of caller questions on the air. I've never once heard from somebody that said, Rob, I paid off my mortgage last year and I've regretted it ever since. I just don't get that call. So I suspect that will be the case for you as well. Think about that. Pray about that as you consider your options moving forward. All right, let's take some more phone calls today. The number is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hi, Christine. Thanks for calling from Texas. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just got a job and the matching is confusing to me. And before I tell you what the matching is, they do have the option to do a before-tax Roth 401k and an
yes.
SSP. I guess that's a traditional 401k.
Yes.
So the verbiage is confusing, but it says that the company matched contributions is up to 4% and then 50% of the first 8% you contribute.
Okay.
And then they automatically contribute 6%.
Okay. And is it the same whether you put it into the traditional or the Roth?
Yes, I did verify that. And so what I did was I was assuming 8% was the high point. So I split it 4% between the traditional and the Roth and 4% to the Roth. I feel like I'm doing that wrong.
Well, in terms of how to break it up between the two, is that your question?
Well, first I want to be sure that 8% is the high point. Like that's where they're maxing out on
the match,
you know, the contribution.
Yes. Yeah.
The match.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that would be worth a phone call to the plan administrator or to HR just to say, let me make sure I'm reading this fine print correctly because I want to fully maximize my match. It's not uncommon for there to be a dollar for dollar match to a certain point and then a 50 cents on the dollar. It sounds like this is a very generous plan. I love that you're at the very least getting 50% all the way up to 8%, but it sounds like the first four, you're getting 100% return on your money. That's great. So we want to make sure you're fully taking advantage of that. Now, in terms of how to break it up, I like you contributing to both. You know, I was reading a study just recently on this same issue where they looked at the best allocation or the balance between your traditional and your Roth accounts. To University of Arizona researchers looked at this in light of the fact that there's an unknown here, and that is what's going to happen with tax rates in the future. And so we just don't know. If we knew where tax rates were going precisely between, you know, when you retire, we could say, well, here's where you need to put the money. We don't. And so what they did is they studied, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of accounts and scenarios and came up with a rule of thumb. And that rule of thumb was you add 20 to your age, the number 20 plus your age, and that's the percentage you put into the traditional account. And then you put the rest into a Roth. Now, does that work for everybody? Is that going to be perfect? No, of course not. But it was just what they came up with based on their study. So a 40-year-old would put 60% in the traditional, 40 plus 20, and then they'd put the balance, 40%, into the Roth. So you could apply, you know, that rule of thumb just based on, you know, this analysis that they did, or you could split it 50-50. I mean, that would be up to you. But I think the bottom line is I like the idea of you first making sure you're fully maximizing the match, and second, that you've got these two buckets, both the tax-free growth and the tax-deferred growth, working for you so that when you get to that season of life, you can figure out which is the best to pull from a tax standpoint, just based on where the tax codes are, based on what your income needs are, based on your charitable giving. I mean, a whole host of factors. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it makes complete sense. So okay. I made the right decision, but I will call to verify the maximum and what their contribution is. I did play with the slider within the, you know, they have this little tool.
Yeah.
And once I slid past 8%, I could see the company contribution and it stopped.
Ah, there you go. Yep, sounds like that's right. Well, very good, Christine. You're doing a great job. Thanks for your call today. God bless you. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, there's been a lot of talk about gold lately. We always hear more about gold when there's uncertainty, when there's some fear out there, certainly when the market's under some pressure, and when we see inflation spike, and boy, have we seen inflation spike. Well, what's in the news today is that gold bars are selling like hotcakes at Costco. Yeah, you heard me right. The big box chain store has started making the 1 ounce gold bars available online for just under $1,900. Now, you might say, is that a good price? It actually is. The spot price of gold is now at about $1,875, so that's certainly competitive. It's limiting purchases to two per customer, so it's not like this will make up a big part of your portfolio. It seems like it's perhaps more of a promotional move for Costco, and it's apparently paying off. The company's reporting that the bars sell out as soon as they're put up online. I just checked a moment ago, and they're not available right now. By the way, we recommend, you know, typically only having 5%, 10% at the most of your portfolio, and we'll continue to talk about that. I believe Mary has a question about that as well in Kansas. Mary, go right ahead.
Hi. This is Mary. I'm actually in Missouri, not Kansas anymore.
Oh, okay. No problem. How can I help?
No. Well, I'm retired, and I have my money in Fidelity, and I have, like, all together a little over $300,000. And I was wondering, should I go into some gold and silver? And then my other question on that was, I have it in Fidelity, and I'm not real sure. I don't think Fidelity is a very godly company, and I was really thinking about, should I change it to like a Timothy plan or into a fiduciary, probably not saying it right, some kind of company like that that's a little bit more, you know, has the same values we have.
Yeah, well, let's talk about both of those, Mary. I appreciate those questions. Number one, what should an allocation of gold look like? You know, I like to approach it like this. I mean, if you were to say that probably the top end of your allocation should be at 10%, you might think about it in terms of 5% in your forever allocation, which might be physical gold, and you might accumulate that over time. And the idea would be that you wouldn't be looking to buy it and sell it at some point and, you know, make money on it. You'd probably buy and hold it forever and maybe pass it down. And I think that's where the physical gold can, you know, do well for you, in the sense that, you know, you're buying it, you're hanging on to it, you got to store it and secure it and so forth. But, you know, you've got something that's tangible. And then if you want to go up to 10%, sometimes thinking about adding that additional 5% in the form of a gold tracking stock like an ETF. So, you know, one example would be GLD. That's the ticker symbol for the ETF that tracks the price of gold. They actually have gold backing it, but you're buying it like a stock. So you're essentially, you know, as you buy in, that tracker is going to follow the price of gold, and it should follow it almost exactly. And what that allows you to do is take advantage of the rise in the price of gold without having to buy it physically and, you know, pay the dealer markups and store it in a safe deposit box or, you know, a fireproof safe or whatever that might be. And so that between the two, your 5% forever allocation and your 5% tracker, you know, you get up to that 10%. But I probably wouldn't go beyond that. You know, gold tends to be more volatile. It doesn't have the long-term performance as much as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. I mean, for instance, we would have thought gold would have just really done well the last couple of years because of what's happening in with inflation. But the reality is gold peaked in the August of 2020 at around $2,070 an ounce. Then it fell 20% to nearly $1,600 last November. And we've had a nice bounce back, but it's still cheaper today than it was in the summer of 2020. And, you know, despite all that's happened since then, and I think that just underscores this idea that, yes, there's a place for it. I think it's a part of a properly diversified portfolio, but I wouldn't get too overweighted in it. It doesn't generate any income, and it just doesn't have the performance that stocks and bonds do. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. All right.
That's what I was, you know, yeah. Much of it should you really have if you should have any of it, you know?
Yeah. So I think there's a place for it, but I just wouldn't, you know, go overboard. In terms of aligning your values with your investments, I think that's a great idea. You know, I think what we say here on this program is each person needs to establish their own convictions around their investments. And that may lead you to a conviction that, you know, when you're buying stocks on the secondary market, you're comfortable just seeking a good return with proper diversification and using biblical principles of a long time horizon and, you know, spousal unity and diversification to invest. Others come down to the conviction, and we think it's a conviction or a conscience matter. Some come down to the conviction that, no, we actually want to align our values with the actual stock selections that we're making in terms of what do the companies stand for and what is their primary business activity and is that aligned with my values? And when I own stocks, I'm engaging by voting proxies and standing up for my values in terms of how the company is conducting itself. So I like that idea. I'm less concerned about the custodian, and that's what Fidelity is in your case. And I'm more interested in the investments that you're selecting. So you can have an account at an account at Fidelity and buy a Timothy Plan fund. You can have an account at Fidelity and buy Guidestone or Eventide or One Ascent or some of these wonderful fund families that are out there. And so that's, you know, what I would do. Now, if you looked into Fidelity and you saw something, you were just concerned about what they were doing, well, certainly you could go direct to those mutual funds, but often it is easier to be at a Fidelity or a Schwab and then buy those funds directly inside that portfolio, and that's what I would suggest you do.
Okay, okay. And what about a fiduciary? I mean, I don't think Fidelity is a fiduciary. I mean, is that...
Yeah, so you would... What you're talking about is hiring an advisor who is required by law to put your interests above their own. That's what a fiduciary is. And yeah, I like the fact that you would consider having an advisor. Are you making the buy and sell decisions currently on your investments?
No. Fidelity does it for me.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So having somebody that really is waking up thinking about what investments should I have, not just somebody that, you know, is there in a call center. I mean, do you have a relationship with an advisor at Fidelity, or is it just kind of Fidelity, the company that's doing this?
Well, I have one, but it changes all the time.
Yeah. You really don't, you know. So what I would say is that the next option, and I wouldn't move the money from Fidelity until you establish this relationship, because many advisors, many fiduciaries work with Fidelity as the custodian, but they're the advisors making the decisions. So we recommend, Mary, the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. There's 1,500 men and women across the U.S. and Canada that have earned the only industry designation for biblically wise financial advice. And when you contact these CKAs to interview maybe two or three there in Kansas, I'd ask them, do you do faith-based investments? We're actually going to provide a filter in the near future for only those CKs that offer faith-based investments for those that are looking for that. Right now, you need to ask the question. So what I would do is head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click Find a CKA. and you could do a zip code search right there in your area, okay?
Okay, E-C-K, is that what you said?
Find a CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor. Find a CKA.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
It's right there at the top of the page. God bless you, Mary. Thanks for calling today. You have a wonderful weekend. Well, folks, we're going to take our last break of the program and then back to round out the program with your questions. Linda, coming to you next in Michigan. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones, let me mention here on the last business day of September, we could genuinely use your financial support. So Faith and Finance on American Family Radio is listener supported, which just simply means that we rely on your gifts to bring you this broadcast each day. And so I would just simply invite you to be a contributor, a supporter of our work here at Faith and Finance, if the Lord leads you to do so. A gift of any amount would go a long way. We're slightly behind where we need to be here at the end of September to stay on our own budget and planning. And so a gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us close that gap of about $5,000 between now and the end of the month over the next few days. God is incredibly gracious to us, and the ministry is thriving as we reach more and more people every day with this message of biblical stewardship, but it does take support from listeners like you. So if you're a part of the Faith and Finance family, maybe you found something helpful on this program or you listen regularly, we would just invite you to make a gift of any amount beyond the giving to your local church and even American Family Radio. You can make a gift to Faith and Finance on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com, and you can just click the give button, and thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go. We're going to round out the program here with your calls and questions. I've got room for maybe one more at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I don't have many assets. The only one I have left is a $9,000 IRA. I'm 87.
Okay.
And I only take out a small amount every year. And I'm just wondering if the government would allow me to take out more so I could buy things that I need.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have a penalty of any kind when you take it out. It would just be taxable. So with a traditional IRA, the money went in pre-tax, which means that you got a deduction back when you made those contributions. So as the money comes out, you pay tax on it like it's income. So it just gets added to your taxable income. But you can pull out as much as you want at any time. You just need to make sure that you set aside something for the taxes that will be due on it so that doesn't catch you off guard. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, and that answers my question. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Linda. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it very, very much. Again, we've got room for maybe one more question today, 800-525-7000. You can give us a call. Let's see. Let's take an emailed question. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com, and we try to get to at least one on each program. This comes from JK. JK writes, I have had a credit card since 1982 with a major bank that no longer represents my values. It's the card that I've had the longest. I'm told that helps my credit rating. Should I close it? And I would just say, if the Lord is leading you, JK, to close this account, I would say by all means, obey that calling and go for it. I wouldn't put your credit score above you representing your values. Now, will it have an impact? Probably a slight dip. There is two things that go into this. Number one is when you close an account, it changes your credit utilization. So if you're carrying a balance on any of these, that amount that was available to you is no longer. And so it potentially could raise the credit utilization on your other balances versus the total limit that you have accessible to you. If you're not carrying a balance, that's probably a non-issue. But you're right, there is a second factor in the credit scoring formula that has to do with your history. How long have you had these accounts? And the idea behind that portion of the algorithm is that those who have had accounts for a long time have demonstrated a long period of following good practices and being on-time payers. And that, based on the data, would say that you're a better credit risk, showing that stability and that history. And so if this account comes out of that history and it's your oldest one, it's going to change that. Now, keep in mind the history portion of your credit score formula is the smallest. It's 10% of your score, and it's probably not going to affect you very much. So I would say bottom line is, could it affect you slightly? Yes. Will that bounce back and still be a high score? Yes. Does it matter at all if you're not going out and seeking credit, like buying a house or buying a car in the next 6 months? It really doesn't. And what I think comes before all of that is the Lord leading you to be aligned with your values and your priorities as a believer. And in your question, you've obviously said that you feel like this company doesn't represent your values. You're not alone, by the way. A recent survey of about 1,300 professing believers by the Christian Community Credit Union found that nearly one-third of them have considered switching banks in the last year. More than half said it's more important now than ever that their bank aligns with their Christian values. So where do you go from here? I'd check out Christian Community Credit Union. They have all of the services your bank has, including a credit card, but the profits go toward supporting ministries that carry the gospel around the world. So you can check them out and learn more at joinchristiancommunity.org. That's joinchristiancommunity.org. JK, thanks for writing to us today. All right, heading back to the phones here as we begin to get closer to the end of the broadcast. We're heading to Kentucky next. Catherine, go right ahead.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I was calling. I have some money that's sitting in a savings account, which is not making any money. So I was thinking about putting it in a high yield savings account somewhere else because I might need it. I'm working on my house right now and I may need it.
Okay.
So I didn't want to put it where I couldn't.
Yes. And so you're wondering how to move that money to get a better yield on that?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, first of all, I love you kind of earmarking this bucket of savings for a specific purpose. And I think you're right. If you're planning on using it in the next 3 years, you really don't want to take any risk with it. It's about the return of your money, not on your money at that point. So you want to keep it safe, which means, in my mind, an FDIC insured high yield savings account. But you're right. There's no reason to settle for something less than, let's say, 4% right now, just because of you can get that with no fees, no minimums, and FDIC insurance. Where I would head next is bankrate.com. That's the website, bankrate.com. And you'll click on the button that says high yield savings. And what they do is they will allow you to search by and sort all of the banks who offer high yield savings accounts by the current rate they're offering. And it changes from time to time as to who has the most compelling and competitive rates. You'll find that the best ones right now are paying north of 4%. And so that would give you a great starting point to starting evaluating who's going to give you the most competitive offer right now. I can tell you it's going to be an online bank, but I'm okay with that as long as it has FDIC insurance. And they have a 5-star rating there, and so you can make sure you're getting one that's highly rated. So again, that's bankrate.com. If you want a bank that shares your values, you can look at a credit union, and we just mentioned Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. You could consider that as well. Is that helpful?
That is very helpful. Christian Credit Union.
Yeah, let me try that again. So it's joinchristiancommunity.com.
Okay.
Joinchristiancommunity.com. And that will take you to the Christian Community Credit Union. But if you wanted to look for the bank that just purely has the highest yield right now for online savings, that's where you'd want to go to bankrate.com, and they'll show you who has the most competitive rates right now.
Okay, one more real quick question.
Yeah, sure.
I had given you my calls several months ago about putting some money in an account for my grandchildren, and it was an index fund, and could put more than $10,000 in it. I'm ready to think about opening another one.
Okay.
Is that still something interesting to do?
Yeah, I mean, index funds are fine in the sense that you're just going to capture the broad moves of whatever that index is. So it's probably an index that tracks one of the stock market indexes, I would suspect. I mean, there's indexes for the bond market and gold, and there's indexes for stocks, and you can index to the 500 largest domestic companies, that's the S&P 500. You can do the 30 Dow Jones stocks. You can do the Russell 1000 or 3000. So it depends on what the index is. But I like indexes for a small amount of money that's earmarked for a specific purpose, and that's what you have with your grandkids. I'm a little confused as to why there'd be a $10,000 limit, because there shouldn't really be a limit on it. And you shouldn't have to open a new account. You should just be able to add to the one that you have. Do you have any more information about what it is you opened?
Not right now in front of me, no.
Okay, all right. Why don't you call back next week and we'll talk about it, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you, Catherine. Quickly to Tennessee, Ricky, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a 401k from a place I used to work.
All right.
I'm kind of looking into gold, and I want to transfer it into gold. Do you have any suggestions and someone that would be liable? I've called a few people. I'm just not sure about the proper way to do it.
Yeah. What does this 401k represent in terms of your total investable assets?
Very little. It's only about $20,000,
$22,000. Right. Got it. Yeah. One thing you could do, Ricky, would just be to roll it to an IRA. It's just a Fidelity or Schwab, not a gold IRA. Where they're going to hold physical gold, but just a traditional IRA at one of the discount brokerages, and then buy one of the gold trackers like GLD. There, you could just search gold ETFs in your search engine, and you'll see all of them. And that would follow the price of gold, but you're buying it like a stock. If you wanted to buy the physical gold, well, then you need to go with an IRA custodian that is equipped to do that and store it and protect it and so forth. I wouldn't be able to make a recommendation on a specific company. I would just say do your research online. But if you want to do it through the means I mentioned, that would give you the flexibility at any point to sell that position and buy something else. So you'd, again, just roll it to a Fidelity or Schwab and then buy the gold tracker. Otherwise, I'd do a lot of research before you pick a custodian for the gold IRA. Thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Let me again mention, if you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, we're trying to close a gap between now and the end of September of $5,000. You can help at faithfi.com. Click give. That's faithfi.com. Click give. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Jim, and Robert. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.